Macmillan Audio presents The Marine Corps Way to Win on Wall Street by Ken Marlin. Read for you by Pete Larkin.
Preface. In late 1985, the chairman and CEO of Dun & Bradstreet, Charles Moritz, Charlie to his friends, Mr. Moritz to me, summoned me to his office. I had been working for D&B for a little over 4 years, having joined the company after serving for a decade in the U.S. Marines. I had never before been summoned specifically to see Mr. Moritz, and I had no idea what he wanted to talk about. I wouldn't call this scene intimidating. I'm not easily intimidated. But it was unusual, and I was curious. In those days, the D&B corporate headquarters, of which I was a part, operated largely as the center of a sector-focused private equity firm. It bought portfolio companies, supported the heads of those companies financially, provided capital, ensured that financial reporting was done well, and encouraged growth through acquisitions that could be tucked under their umbrella, where they could share expenses and perhaps find some product or revenue synergies. As in many PE firms, D&B would subject budgets, acquisitions, and expansion plans to a thorough review, even selling companies when they were deemed to no longer fit the corporate strategy or were performing below D&B's standards. D&B then owned something like 23 different major businesses worldwide, each of which operated independently, and most of which had absolutely nothing to do with each other. They included Moody's Investors Service, Interactive Data Corporation, Reuben H. Donnelly, Donnelly Marketing, McCormick & Dodge, A.C. Nielsen, and the Dun & Bradstreet credit information business for which D&B is now best known. D&B had been around for more than 140 years when I joined. It was a highly respected brand, and I was happy to be there. The chairman and CEO then was Harrington Duke Drake, a super salesman who had worked his way up through the Reuben H. Donnelly Corporation, a big marketing services firm best known as a publisher of classified phone directories, to become head of that firm, and then, after it merged with D&B, to become our CEO. When I joined, Duke was in the midst of putting his imprint on the company. Over the next few years, D&B invested billions of dollars in 33 major acquisitions and dozens of other smaller ones. Moritz had been Duke's protege. Both had attended elite private East Coast colleges, Yale for Moritz, Colgate for Drake, and both had come up similar routes through sales and then executive leadership. Moritz certainly looked the part of the top New York executive. The New York Times had captured his essence in a piece announcing his ascension to CEO, describing him as, quote, personifying the conservative businessman. He lives in Darien, Connecticut. He's 48 years old and he has 3 children. He plays golf and reads spy novels. His neatly trimmed hair is gray, his suit pinstriped, and his reading glasses, half frames that sit on the edge of his nose, close quote. The last time I had been in a room with Moritz, he had rejected a proposed acquisition. In the past, the target company had been accused of paying bribes to local government officials. He wanted no risk to D&B's reputation. We had discussed this company's questionable past
Sample complete. Ready to continue?